welcome to another episode of the Monday Mile podcast. Today, I'm catching up with a man who's just fresh back from the Olympics in Paris. He went into the Games as a hopeful for climbing, a sport that doesn't just require technical agility, but lateral thinking too. He's the closest thing to Spider-Man. He's our first ever Olympic medalist in climbing, and he clinched the gold. Toby, how are you?
Hey, yeah, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Have the feet touched the ground yet? Because from what I've seen from the outside, it looks like it's been non-stop.
It has been like absolutely non-stop. Pretty much ever since I came off that final route, my life has been pretty crazy, from competitions, from media, all sorts of different things. Yeah, my feet haven't really touched the ground.
Did you expect in that moment that it would be sort of such a whirlwind experience post-Games?
I never really thought about what was going to happen after the Olympics, because obviously you focus so much on the event. I've trained for like so many years for that one moment, and then being on that stage and then getting that gold, I didn't necessarily know what it meant. The hours after, I was like, okay, well, what, this has just happened. My life has sort of changed, and since then it's been a bit of a whirlwind.
So when we last caught up, it was end of March, April time, and you were performing a replica sim on the bouldering wall.
That was actually one of my last like training events before the Olympics, so that was quite a big one.
So crazy. And going into the Games, you were a hopeful. Did you dare to dream that the medal was possible?
We have like a World Cup circuit, and we're always competing against the same people. So the people I compete against in the World Cups, I would also be competing against in the Olympics. So I sort of knew where I stood, and it was definitely in and around the podium, but you can never ever like go into a competition expecting to win a gold, expecting to get a podium. You have to go in there and clear your head and then just do what you do best. I knew that if I had a good performance, I would have a shot at a podium, but getting a gold is just, I mean, you dream about it, but you can never like, you can never know what that feels like until you actually get it. Yeah, when I got that gold, it was just like all of that training had just become worth it.
It's wild, like at the first time of asking, you've gone out there and just absolutely smashed it. Take me to that moment. You've already competed in the bouldering. You were sat in third?
Third, yeah.
Going into the lead event, did you think it was possible to change that order?
I think that's what made it such high pressure, is because after the bouldering event, I sort of knew that it was all so close. There were 6 points which split first place and third place after the boulder event.
And for those that might not know, it's six points
really isn't much at all. So six points is like two moves on the lead route on the top. So that's literally just two moves at the top is separating us. So that's what makes it so high pressure. After each round, we're told the results. So we're sat there behind, and we all know that we're all so close, it's not decided yet. It's those moments there where you really have to keep it together, because you have the chance, you have the opportunity to go out and take the gold, but if you make any single tiny mistake, you can go from first place to straight to sixth place. That's how close it is. It's not like, it's not decided until the very last moment, the very last move. Before that lead route, I remember being there about to go out. I just said to myself, look, you're only here once. You can only go out there and then just give it your absolute everything. And just before I pulled onto the wall, I just said, just relax, like you know what you're doing, you've trained for this, and whatever happens, happens, just give it everything.
I mean, just seeing you in the sim replica, I was lucky enough to experience being that close and being there with your dad. The environment that's created in climbing is so intense.
Yeah, it's intense.
How do you deal with the pressure in those defining moments? Because I've never watched a sport like it. It feels like you're constantly juggling the chessboard.
Yeah, climbing is, it's obviously incredibly physical, but what people, a lot of people don't see is like how mentally hard it is. A lot of the physically strongest people aren't actually the best climbers and don't perform the best in the competitions. And it's almost always a mental thing. Being able to clear your head and get on the wall without feeling like shaky, without being nervous, is just such a hard thing and such a learned task. And so much of actual climbing competitions is just a mental test, and all of these simulations that we do is almost to refine our mental skills more than our physical ones. So when we actually get to like these competitions, like the Olympics, we're able just to stick the competition to the back of our head and then just do what we do best, which is climbing. So yeah, it's incredibly mentally challenging.
How do you train mentally to be ready for that moment? Like that pressure in that moment, you're sat in third, hands on the wall. How do you get yourself in a state of calm? Because
I think it's so hard to, like, you can't have a training plan for that. I think it's mostly down to my, like, experience. So with all of the World Cups and all of these competitions that we do, you don't necessarily know what experience is, but each of these competitions, each of these rounds that you go through, each boulder that you climb in front of a big crowd, you're basically just subconsciously learning how to deal with that pressure. So all of these World Cups that I've done leading up to the Olympics, all of these simulations, all of these training sessions, it's all sort of subconsciously just building up your mental game. So when you get to the Olympics, you're able to handle those situations. Like, what happens if you go out and your shoes are dirty? Like, what happens if something happens, your cool time's messed up, or just a little problem? How are you going to deal with that mentally and be able just to go out and climb? So there's so many different things which you have to control.
That's where I went wrong in my last Olympics. Yeah. So my binding broke before I dropped into the big air. As much as I tried to not let it affect me, I then missed two training runs. And then you're like, oh! You automatically feel a disadvantage. So take me back to Paris.
Yeah.
It's Olympic finals day. Did everything run smoothly, or were there a few mishaps?
There was definitely some mishaps during the competition, especially in the semi-final. The first climb that I went out to of the whole competition, I basically didn't see that where the scoring zone was marked on the last hold. So you have to stick two hands on the top hold to complete the climb.
Yeah.
And instead of doing that, I didn't see where the tape was for the finish. So I put it in the wrong place. So I essentially got the top of the boulder, but it didn't count because I didn't look where the tag on the climb was. So instantly that was just sticking me on the back foot mentally. I didn't lose out on that many points, but mentally that was a massive challenge for me to go back into, there's a cool zone behind where we have to sit before we go out for our climbs, to go back there and then to regroup mentally. Like, I had my music in, trying to just forget about what just happened and then go out for my next climb. And that was the semi-final. So luckily got through to the finals. And in the finals, it ran pretty smoothly actually. I was able just to calm myself down and go out there and climb, and there weren't too many mistakes, which was nice.
And the crazy thing about competing at the Olympics is there is an element of it that feels the same to a normal World Cup, yet the eyes of the world are watching you. Did you feel that in pressure and emotion?
Absolutely. The Olympics, well, you can't prepare for that mentally. It's just insane. The actual climbing is the same, the format's the same, the climbs are the same. It's just another World Cup, but everything about it, all the volunteers, people to take you everywhere, the security of the venue, the size of the venue, the crowd, it's all just massive. The scale of the Olympics is just unimaginable. Even the village, like, being in that environment, it's just crazy. Yeah, the climbing is the same, but the mental side of it is just so much harder to handle.
Okay, and how about, there's other factors as well. It's not like just waking up at home and going to training. You've also got an Olympic food hall and thousands of other athletes around you in that environment, and everyone's like geared up to perform. Was it hard adapting to that Olympic environment? Like, you're going to a giant all-inclusive, all-you-can-eat buffet, and I can imagine for climbing, you've got to be feeling light on your feet, do you?
Being in the Olympic Village is definitely, it can be mentally hard, but we obviously don't have to stay in there, but I thought it's my first games. I want to experience that. Like, it's a once in a lifetime opportunity almost. So I want to go in there. But what I tried to do is just keep it as routine as possible. So wake up, go to bed at the same time. Obviously it's a massive buffet. There's loads of different options, but just try and eat foods which you're used to, which you're familiar with. Don't try a load of random stuff. So just trying to keep it as routine as possible, and then just go out and do the job on the climbing wall is sort of the approach I took. And I think I was able to do that pretty well.
The day you won your first Olympic medal, it's a gold. What did you have for breakfast?
Oh God, that's a hard question. What did I have for breakfast? I think I got solid eggs on toast.
Is that the standard?
I mean, I can't remember, but that's just a standard breakfast for me.
So
eggs on toast.
If you were taking on your own advice, that's what you would have done.
Yeah,
yeah. If you could remember.
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much have that every day. So.
Are there elements of that day that feel like a blur now, looking back?
Absolutely. Like, the whole competition almost was like a blur. Like, going into isolation, being in there for hours with the coaches, it all just sort of, I can't necessarily remember fine details, and then watching back on my phone and it all just suddenly comes back to me. So being able to watch it back afterwards has been really, really nice, because it just all comes back to you. Like, wow, I was there. I was at the Olympics. This is what I did.
I think one of the best shots that I have seen is your reaction.
Yeah.
The shock of disbelief. Did you have any idea at that point when the camera zooms onto you, that you were sat in the gold medal position?
No, that was complete shock. That is something which I can't remember. That moment has just completely gone from me. Watching that back was just like, wow. When I was sat there and I didn't know necessarily where I was, I looked to the coaching pit and then I see my coach holding up the finger to let me know that I'm in first still. The rush of emotions there is probably the most emotions I've ever felt in my entire life. Like that moment there is years and years and years of training has gone into that one moment there. And standing on that stage is probably like the proudest that I've ever been like in my entire life.
It is so, so special to not only go to the Olympics, but to go out there, perform, land on the podium, but to clinch gold at the first time of asking truly is something else. Talk to me about the journey to get there though, because so many people will have seen you that day,
yeah,
the gold medal around your neck, but it doesn't come easy. And I've witnessed your training. What does your routine look like day to day to be a professional climber?
Yeah, absolutely doesn't come easy. Every single athlete up on that stage, it's not just a coincidence. Everyone's worked so hard to be there, but a typical day would be, especially during the winter where I do my heaviest training, it's like 6 days a week, 8-9 hours a day.
Eight, nine hours a day?
Yeah, pretty much just a full-time job. Obviously, you're not doing the same stuff every single day because otherwise you just get too tired and you'd break, but switching it from climbing training, off-the-wall conditioning, different forms of training. So you've got slab climbing, which is less on the hands, and then you've got powerful climbing, which is more on the hands. Just constantly switching it up to do as much as possible, but separating it throughout your body. And then that last day would be like an active recovery day, a lot of stretching, trying to get myself rejuvenated for the 6 days of training I've got coming up. So it is absolutely brutal, but it's not like that the whole time, because as you come into the competition season, you try to shift all of that fatigue, you're trying to shift all that load. So the climbing sessions suddenly become a lot shorter, you drop off all the conditioning, and that's when you really, really start to feel good. That's when all of the gains of the training start to come about, and that's so refreshing, just suddenly feeling the gains from all of that training, because whilst when you're in the training, when you're in the hole,
yeah,
you feel awful. Like, you feel awful the whole time. There were times last season where I was actually questioning my training.
Really?
I was questioning, like, if this is right, because I was just feeling so bad on the wall.
So people talk about the pain cave.
Yeah.
Does it exist in climbing?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that feeling that you're putting your body through, you use the term awful.
Yeah.
What does it feel like?
I don't mind the physical, like, actual pain of it, the discomfort of training, because I actually like training. It's the mental side of just not climbing very well when you know you can do better. And that's when you really have to trust the plan. Like my dad especially, he's a big part of my climbing and training, and he was really having to sort of just tell me to trusted to go with it. He wasn't telling me it was all going to be fine. He was saying, maybe we have got it wrong, maybe it's not right, but we can adapt and change that. But just for now, just trust the plan, trust the process, and then we'll see how you start to feel. Because it was at that time when I was about to come out of that heavy conditioning phase, and you said, okay, yeah, we'll see how it goes. The conditioning's going to drop off, and then see how you feel in a couple of weeks, a month. And it was around that time where we went to Japan for a training trip, which was meant to be my sort of first climbing training trip of the year. And that's when I really started to feel good. And then the plan sort of, I knew it was working.
Trust is so, so important when it comes to any profession, in fact, you know, with the people you work with. And that's where your situation is really interesting, because yeah, that trust is with your dad.
Yeah.
Your dad is not only your coach, but also your manager.
Yeah, coach, manager, taxi, chef, pretty much everything.
So since you started climbing, you've been traveling the world with your dad. How do you navigate that relationship? Is there an off to dad the coach?
First and foremost, I'm just firstly incredibly grateful for everything he's done. It wouldn't be possible without all of that support. And it's just so nice to have someone there who you know has 100% got your back. Because he's my dad, he's family, I know that he's always going to want the best for me, and I can speak to him freely about anything I want. It's really nice to have that. From when I started climbing when I was 7 years old to now being 19, he's just supported me 100% along the way. He's my coach, he does my training plan. Yeah, having that is just something which I'm incredibly grateful for.
That must have created an inseparable bond for the pair of you. And now to have gone through, you know, the darker days of training, the trust in the plan, to then seal the deal and clinch the gold. Did you have an opportunity to celebrate with him?
Yeah, it definitely feels like a team effort, and there's been some celebrations.
So yeah, when you're like on tour with your dad, how do you balance being, you know, you're in your teens still?
Yeah, don't get me wrong, there are like, he's still my dad, there are arguments. Not everything's all like sunshine and roses. It can be a bit harder sometimes, but he's also my friend essentially, so.
That's so, so cool. Like, I think that's quite rare as well. Do you see that? Because I don't know many people that could travel alone. I can even use my own example. I absolutely love my dad, and my dad was my biggest supporter. Yeah. In the infantry of my snowboard career, he'd come and he'd drive and he'd stand at the bottom and he'd be cheering. But then when he'd tell me, Amy, do like one more, like he'd twist his finger as in to do another rotation. I'd literally be like, no, why should I? So my instant reaction, which I think would be a lot of people's, is to like bark back and don't tell me what to do. So
there are definitely moments like that during training where tries to give some advice, shut up, you don't know what you're talking about. but yeah, that's just, I think that's a typical thing with family, but
no,
it's really, really nice.
I think. How do you tread that line when it comes to like, you know, surely having a few beers and going on a night out? Does he encourage that, or is he there going slap the wrist?
I think I'm 19 now, so I think he doesn't mind what I do anymore. Maybe when I was a bit younger, it's like, no, don't do that. It's a bit more relaxed.
So you're semi-fresh back from the games.
Yeah.
You haven't kind of taken your foot off the gas when it comes to training, but you've had all of these other things going on, TV appearances, brand stuff, being pulled in different directions. How have you managed to juggle that physically?
I mean, I really, really like to have a goal to strive for, so there's still World Cups going on at the moment after the Olympics, so I've opted to compete in those because I love having something like a goal there, something which I can train for, something to keep me active, as well as all of the other media stuff, because without climbing, without focusing on something like that, I think, I don't know what I'd do with myself. I just love climbing so much, I love training. I wouldn't be able to go without that, so it's been so nice just to go to these competitions without the added pressure of the Olympics. I'm able just to go out there and enjoy them. I've actually recently just got back from two World Cups, which were just two of my most enjoyable competitions this season. It felt definitely much more like a party vibe. I did the competition and then went and had a good time, whereas the Olympics was very, very much focused. So
very linear.
Very linear, yeah. You do your job, you do this. But these World Cups have just been like, compete at a high level and then enjoy yourself.
You said enjoy yourself. Can you divulge on that at all?
I mean, I'm definitely not a heavy drinker. I never, ever drink. After those World Cups, it was nice to, let's just say, have a good time with some friends.
Was it a good...
Wasn't feeling so good the day after.
So actually, your dad told me that you had a really good time.
He told me
to prod you on this. So very sore head the next day.
Definitely, don't mix spirits. No, that's not.
So first life lesson post games has officially been learned.
Yeah, don't mix.
Do you have a signature dance move yet when it comes to hitting the dance floor?
I don't think I'm a good dancer, no.
No?
No. Probably dance on the wall quite well, but but no, off the wall, I'm very awkward.
Anything where my feet are off the ground? I suppose you could do like some sort of handstand dance move.
Oh, maybe.
Mine was always the worm a little bit of break dancing. But
that's hard.
Yeah, but it's also like you can disguise how bad you are at sticking to the music because people are just impressed by your moves. For those people that maybe are listening to this thinking, oh, you know what, climbing sounds cool, what would you say to a youngster that's maybe considering to dare to dream to follow in your footsteps?
I think first and foremost, climbing has just changed my life. These other sports like football, rugby, cricket, I tried them all, I did enjoy them, but when I found climbing, it was like, wow, this is something else. This is just incredible. The first climbing session I ever had, I was instantly hooked. To anyone who watched it on the TV, anyone who's ever watched climbing, go and give it a try. Climbing is so accessible. There's climbing gyms opening up all around the UK, all around the world. The surge of popularity climbing's got from it now being the Olympics is just incredible. So to anyone who's watched it and is thinking of giving it a try, just head to your local wall, sign up for a taster session. They'll give you some shoes and I'm sure you'll enjoy it. There's such a great community around climbing and you'll make so many friends along the way.
Other than the shoes are like pretty awful. Other than that.
The first time getting into a pair of climbing shoes, it's not the nicest.
Like,
yeah.
Crinkle up your toes.
I remember you tried it at the...
How did you rate my climbing?
Yeah, it was good. Probably.
We did pretty well, didn't we, that day?
You did pretty well,
I mean, all things considered that you were in the middle of a sim, you did manage to show me the way up the wall in Wandsworth. I'll have to give it another go. I remember I had the marathon the day after.
So I was
slightly tentative because I didn't want to like...
Blister your feet up.
Blister my feet up. But we were grand. We were grand.
Yeah, it was a good day.
You compete in the combined. Yeah. So that's lead and boulder. How would you explain the difference in technicality between the two?
So lead climbing is much more endurance based. The wall's a lot longer. You're having to stay on the wall for like 5-6 minutes. And you've really start to feel the burn in your forearms. But the moves aren't necessarily at your max level because there's so many of them. Whereas bouldering, it's a lot shorter. There's maybe 6 or 7 moves. It's a lot more powerful, more dynamic, more showy. And it's more of like a skills thing.
Yeah.
Like you can watch some bouldering moves and go, wow, that was insane. Look at that jump. You have to be really strong and powerful for the bouldering, but also have a lot of endurance for the lead. It's a hard balance to get, especially in training.
The mental agility when I watched you do the bouldering is just incredible. Yeah. Because there's so much going on. You see people at these climbing walls, but the depths and the level that you guys take it to is truly phenomenal to watch.
Yeah, that's where all of the training comes in, because when you're on a bouldering wall and doing these crazy moves, it's all subconscious basically. When you're doing these crazy jumps and these things with your feet, it's almost like a learned thing in your subconscious. It's from all of those training, trying similar moves. You can never think about each individual movement because there's just so much going on. You wouldn't be able to process it quick enough. Before I put onto the boulder, normally I just tell myself, just forget about it, just relax and almost empty your mind and just let your body do it because it knows what it's doing.
That in itself is such a skill set, to empty your mind.
Yeah, it's true. It's really, really hard, especially when you're on like on the big stage with a big crowd.
Have you got a technique that you use to almost clean that slate?
I find that when I pull onto the wall, it all sort of empties out anyway, and it's just me and the wall. But definitely, I do like listening to music before I go out.
What are we vibing to?
Eminem.
No!
Lose Yourself. You know, really get me in the zone.
That's intense, Toby.
It is intense, yeah.
I suppose you've got to be geared up, haven't you? Yeah. Fired up. But Toby, we are on the Monday Mile Walk and Talk podcast, so we like to ask all of their guests how they like a Monday.
Yeah, I mean, I like a Monday because I just love what I do so much. I love climbing. Every day sort of feels good. So Monday is a solid day. There's definitely some times during like heavy winter training when I've got to get up and then go to the gym and then do all this horrible stuff and my body's really hurting. Or I'm like, oh gosh, this today's going to be rough. But that's when it's really about just waking up, getting it done and pushing through, because you know the gains from that is what's going to see you through the season. And when you like stand on that podium, when you get that Olympic gold, that's what makes those moments worth it.
And in those moments when you are questioning getting out of bed when it's dark and cold, how do you get out of bed? Because some people just flat out struggle.
Stick a bit of Eminem, Lose Yourself on. Just get up, grab a coffee and get it done. And at the end of the day, once you've then done that training, I don't think there's anything which feels better. Like, I really didn't want to do that in the morning. I got up, I did it, I put myself in the hole, I worked hard, and that just feels amazing to me.
Did you do that today or not
today,
yet?
No.
Did you have a cheeky lion?
Today was very much a 9 a.m. wake up.
Today's more of a day off for you, isn't it?
Since the Olympics, I've not necessarily been like training. I've just been just climbing for the enjoyment of it. And that's been really, really nice. But now I'm actually really looking forward to going like outside climbing, which is a different part of climbing, but definitely not like training at the minute. My next big competition will be the World Championships next year in September. No doubt when I get to the winter, I'll start my training for that, and it's going to be really, really hard. But also having some downtime is really, really important after such a big competition.
Nice. Downtime is good.
Yeah, downtime is very, very
good. Downtime is the one. And lastly, Toby, do you have any life mottos or quotes that you live by that we can maybe share with our listeners to inspire them to chase their dreams?
Try hard. One thing I've always just loved in climbing is just being able to give absolutely everything and trying really hard, whether that's on a lead route, fighting to the death, basically, in training. Just give absolutely everything whenever you can. And most of the time, it'll turn out good.
It'll pay off. Well, it certainly has for you. Toby Roberts, thank you so much for joining us here on the Monday Mile Walk and Talk podcast.
Thanks for having me.
It's been an absolute privilege to walk with you. Did you bring the medal?
I didn't bring
it. Oh, Toby, I wanted to see the medal.
It's in a safe at home.
Yeah. Monday Mile listeners, you know what to do. Please do make sure you are subscribed. The audio drops at 12 a.m. every single Monday morning for the early risers. So get up, tune in, listen to us on your commute. Toby, Smash it. Good luck in the World Champs.
Thank you.
Enjoy your time off. I reckon you should go for a bevy with your dad, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll join.